I pray each of you have that happy day in your life when you gave your life to Jesus Christ. Last month, the Olympics ended. And one of the sports in the Olympics is the pole vault. There is a bar somewhere around 18 feet high. The participant has a pole in his hand. And he starts down the runway, running as fast as he can. Then he uses the pole to help him jump over the bar. The bar, very, very high. Impossible for the person to jump over the bar just using his 2 feet. No matter how athletically gifted they are, they just can't do it without using that pole. They would never, never succeed. No matter how many times they tried just jumping with their 2 feet, they would never jump that high. In our Christian lives, we face obstacles and challenges and setbacks, and yes, some very, very high mountains and bars. So how do we succeed in our Christian lives when we face these hindrances? Well, sad to say, many of us, we try to use our own 2 feet. We try to use our own strength. And we can never, never overcome those mountains relying on self. We need that pole, like the pole vaulter, to launch us over that difficulty. And as believers, that power to succeed in our Christian lives is readily available to us. We just need to grab hold of it and follow God in faith, doing what God's word says. That pole we need as believers is faith. This morning, we're going to come back to our study in the book of Joshua after taking a break last week. When we left Joshua, the Israelites have sent spies to spy out the land of Canaan, especially the city of Jericho. And after the spies return, the Israelites cross the Jordan River. And now they are at the edge of the land of Canaan across the Jordan River. And to commemorate this, they set up some stones as a memorial. Then they circumcised all the men who were born in the wilderness and had crossed the Jordan. And after this, they celebrated their first Passover in Canaan. And that's where we pick up today in chapter 6. The Jews at the edge of Jordan. They've crossed Canaan, and now what do they face? There is this fortified city, Jericho, waiting for them. Remember, God had commanded them to go in and take and conquer the land of Canaan. And this is their first major difficulty, battle, mountain, in conquering Jericho. You need to know Jericho is very significant. It is located near the Jordan River. And there is no way for the Israelites to advance and go into the land of Canaan without first taking Jericho. Jericho was blocking their entrance, them moving forward into the central part of Canaan. Jericho is that mountain they had to face before they succeed in moving in the land of Canaan. Today, we're going to be talking about spiritual success. Spiritual success is not defined by prosperity or health or wealth. That's what the world teaches us. Spiritual success is living God's way, knowing the joy and peace and spiritual blessings God has promised to believers. And for the Israelites to succeed in taking Jericho, and for us today, spiritual success is achieved as we obey God's word and live faithful lives, walking in faithfulness and obedience by the power of the Holy Spirit is the only way to have spiritual success. That's the way we succeed and overcome those mountains and high bars in our lives. Let us open in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we just sung, we do thank you for the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for his death on the cross that takes away our sins if we simply come to him in simple childlike faith. But Lord, we also thank you that you don't just save us, but you empower us and equip us to live the Christian life. And you empower us and equip us to face those challenges that we all encounter as we take our Christian walk. Lord, open up our hearts this morning as we see how the Israelites overcame this city of Jericho and how we can overcome those mountains and high bars in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Firstly, spiritual success comes from faith in God's ways, not human methods and thinking. And faith in God's ways to achieve spiritual success means you have to know what God's ways are. And we find this in verses 1 through 5 of Joshua chapter 6, which says, "Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march round the city, all the men of war going round the city once. Thus you shall do for 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, everyone straight before him.'" Here in these verses, very simply, God tells Joshua how to have success in capturing the city of Jericho. The Israelite army are to march around the city one time a day for 6 days. Now understand, please understand, this does not mean all the people of Israel were to march around Jericho. We know Israel at this time is anywhere between 1 to 2 million people. And from Numbers 26, we learn that Israel at this time had 6,000 men who were able to bear arms, go to war. Verse 3 here tells us they're men of war, their army, their chosen fighters, most likely less than those 600,000 in Numbers 26. Also, we know from archaeology that Jericho was about 8 to 9 acres in length. For my non-American friends, that's about a half of a hectare, whatever a hectare is. And this would only have taken about 30 minutes for the men to march around. And then on the 7th day, God commanded the Israelites to march around the city 7 times, which would have taken about 3 hours. And then they were to blow the trumpet and then shout. Very simply, God's commands for the Israelites to conquer Jericho. To have faith in God's ways, we have to know God's word. Having faith in God's ways to achieve spiritual success in your Christian life means more than just knowing God's ways and knowing God's word. It also means you have to act upon God's ways. You have to act upon what God has said. And we find this in verses 6 through 16 of Joshua chapter 6. "So Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priest and said to them, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord.' And he said to the people, 'Go forward, march around the city and let the armed men pass on before the Ark of the Lord.' And just as Joshua had commanded the people, the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord went forward, blowing the trumpets with the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord following them. The armed men were walking before the priests who were blowing the trumpets, and the rear guard was walking after the Ark while the trumpets blew continually. But Joshua commanded the people, 'You shall not shout or make your voice heard, neither shall any word go out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Then you shall shout.' So he caused the ark of the Lord to circle the city, going round it once. And they came into the camp and spent the night in the camp. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. And the seven priests, bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord, walked on, and they blew the trumpets continually. And the armed men were walking before them, and the rear guard was walking after the ark of the Lord, while the trumpets blew continually. And the second day they marched around the city once and returned into the camp. So they did for 6 days. On the seventh day they rose early at the dawn of the day and marched around the city in the same manner 7 times. It was only on that day that they marched around the city 7 times. And at the seventh time, when the priest had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord Yahweh has given you the city." Here in these verses, we see simply the nation of Israel acted upon God's word. God had told them how to conquer Jericho. The people knew it, but they had to move forward. They had to act upon it. And they followed God's word exactly, and it led to the walls of Jericho falling down flat and the Israelites capturing the city. The Israelites' faith in God's word involved action, doing what God said to do. Faith is not just believing something intellectually. It's putting what you believe into action. Salvation, which we just sung about, works this way. God said, "Whoever believes in his Son has eternal life." Knowing God said that doesn't save a single soul. I knew in my mind probably 20 years before I acted upon that and put my faith in Christ, taking that step of faith. Faith is taking what God has said and acting upon it. For example, God commanded us today who are here, who are believers, to rejoice always. I know that verse. You as a believer, you know that verse. But many times we don't act upon it. There are many times when I'm anxious and worry over circumstances, those mountains and high bars in my life. That's not faith. Faith is acting upon God's word. Faith in God's word to achieve spiritual success in your Christian life not only means knowing God's word, acting upon it, but it also means not following the ways and methods of the world. Here in the verses we just read, the Israelites go and capture the city. Archaeology teaches us Jericho was a very fortified city. There were actually 2 parallel walls around the city, and they stood about 15 feet apart, running parallel. The inner wall was 6 feet thick, 20 feet high. The outer wall was almost double that, 12 feet thick and 30 feet high. Jericho, fortified, a stronghold, if you want to use that word, a city well protected. And God, in his infinite wisdom, commands the Israelites to march around the city, not say anything, blow trumpets, and then on the seventh day and the seventh trip around, to shout and blow a ram's horn. This was God's way of taking down Jericho. Now imagine for a minute, you're one of the soldiers in the Israelite army. What would you be thinking? I know what I would be thinking. This is stupid. We need a military strategy. We need weapons. We need a plan of attack. March, blow a horn, not say anything, and then shout. How's that going to defeat them? I think I have a better way. Now imagine you're one of the residents of Jericho. What would you be thinking? Well-fortified city, these 2 parallel walls. And you see your enemy trying to conquer you, just marching around, saying nothing, blowing a horn. Idiots. They must be mad. And yet, it was God's way, according to God's word, and and faith in God's word which brought success to the Israelites at Jericho. One other minor point here about faith in God's ways to achieve spiritual success in your Christian life. It may involve patience and perseverance. The Israelites had to march around the city for 6 days. And then the seventh day. The walls didn't fall down flat on the first day. But the Jews kept trusting God's word. The walls didn't fall down on the second day. But the Jews kept persevering, patience, trusting God's word. The walls on the seventh day and the fifth time around did not fall down. But the Israelites, they kept marching, persevering, patiently obeying God's word. And eventually, the seventh time around, on the seventh day, that's 13 times total, the Israelites found success because they did exactly what God had told them to do. We are to know God's word, act upon it, even when it seems strange to others, and we're to do it patiently and to persevere in it. We as believers are to follow God's ways, not the world's ways, even though the world may think God's ways are ridiculous. Isaiah 55:8 tells us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord," Yahweh. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." Also, recall the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians. In Corinthians chapters 1 and 2 and the beginning of chapter 3. Describing the wisdom of God and the foolishness of the world. Though the world mixes the two up, saying they are the wise ones and God is the foolish one. And think about the cross. God's plan to save the world. For God to become man, live perfectly, die on a cross for our sins. God's plan to save the world. Simple faith in Jesus' death on the cross. No good works. No laboring. No giving money. Just simple faith. That is in exact opposition and strange and funny and ridiculed by the world and all the other religions in the world that teach us, be good, do good, work hard, let your good works outweigh the bad works, and salvation will come. That's not God's way. So let me ask you a simple question. Who do you trust? Who or what do you personally have your faith in? God's ways, God's word, which are always correct, but seem very peculiar to the world and the carnal way of thinking. Do you trust in God who never lies? Or do you trust in what men and the world try to tell us? Is your faith in self, that you can save yourself by being good and good works? You can't. You can only be saved from your sins God's way, by faith in Jesus Christ on the cross. For believers, where is your faith? Yes, you put your faith in Jesus Christ, but who do you trust as you live the Christian life? Self, your own power to face those walls and high mountains you have to overcome? You can't do it in your own strength, but with God's help, God's power, which comes from doing it God's ways, you can. Moving on, we're going to come to our second point for today, which is spiritual success comes from completely removing any hindrances to holy living. And we find this in verses 17 through 21. I want to say, as I read these verses, they are some of the most difficult verses in the Bible. Just listen. "And the city and all that is it," can't talk today. "And the city and all that is within it shall be devoted to the Lord Yahweh for destruction. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But you, keep yourselves from the things devoted to destruction. Lest when you have devoted them, you take any of the devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing for destruction and bring trouble upon it. But all the silver and gold and every vessel of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord Yahweh. They shall go into the treasury of Yahweh. So the people shouted and the trumpets were blown. As soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they captured the city. Now listen. Then they devoted all in the city to destruction, both men and women, young and old, oxen, sheep, donkeys, with the edge of the sword. Here in these verses, we see the Israelites, they follow God's word. The walls of Jericho fall down. The Jews go up because the walls had fallen down. It was an upward slant. And they captured the city. Not only that, but in verse 17 here, God commands the people to devote the city to destruction. Everything was to be destroyed, except for the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron, which we see, read about in verse 19. Those things were to be placed in the treasury of the Lord. Besides these valuable metals, in verses 17 through 21, which we'll read later, Rahab and her family were saved. Only those things, those precious metals, Rahab and her family, everything else devoted for destruction. Everything. Everything in Hebrew means everything. Building, animals, and yes, people. All the people. This is one of the most difficult issues in the Bible for us as believers to reconcile with a God who is loving and gracious. Unbelievers and skeptics, they like to use this to say our God is hateful, not loving and gracious. Unbelievers use this to teach that the God of the Old Testament is different. We have two gods. He's different than the God of the New Testament. Are the unbelievers and skeptics correct? How would you, as a believer, answer me, the skeptic before I was saved? How would you answer me when I come to you with this question? I went to a Christian with this question before I was saved. First, you have to understand what's happening here. The Israelites have crossed the Jordan River. They have taken Jericho, which is going to be the first of many conquests in the land of Canaan that God has promised to give them. Now, the command here in Joshua 6 to devote the Canaanites to destruction was not some new command at this time. It is actually found in the Old Testament law in Deuteronomy 20. In Deuteronomy 20, verse 10, it says that the Israelites were to offer terms of peace to those nations far off before devoting them to destruction. If they accepted the peace, no destruction. If they didn't accept the peace, then you devote them to destruction. But the near cities in Canaan, where the Israelites were to live, build their houses and homes, Deuteronomy 20:16 tells us this. But in the cities of these peoples that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance, you shall save nothing alive that breathes, but you shall devote them to complete destruction. The Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, as the Lord your God commanded. Makes me a little uneasy. Makes you a little uneasy. Why did God command this? Why? How do you answer that skeptic? I'm the unbeliever. I'm asking you. How would you answer me? Well, I want to give you three reasons to help us understand this difficulty. First, the Canaanites in Jericho were devoted to destruction. The same reason we deserve death, because of their sin and wickedness. Jericho was full of gross immorality and idolatry. They practiced child sacrifices, offering their children as gifts to false gods. They practiced sodomy, bestiality. They practiced religious prostitution, prostitutes for men, for religious purposes. They were extremely, extremely wicked. Deuteronomy 9:4 tells us this is one of the reasons why God would drive them out and destroy them. Deuteronomy 9:4, talking to the Israelites. Do not say in your heart, after the Lord your God has thrust them out before you, it is because of my righteousness that the Lord has brought me in to possess the land. Whereas it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is driving them out before you. Simply put, the Canaanites, those residents in Jericho, were sinners just like us. And as sinners, we deserve God's wrath and judgment because we sin. The payment for sin, you know the New Testament, Romans 6:23, the payment for sin is death. We are just like the people in Jericho. We deserve God's wrath. Secondly, the Canaanites in Jericho were devoted to destruction because they had been given time and opportunities to repent and turn to God in faith. Back in Genesis 15, where we are given the Abrahamic covenant, verses 13 through 16 of Genesis 15, God is telling Abraham why his descendants, Israel, would be sojourners in Israel for such a long time. Let me read Genesis 15, 16. They shall come back here in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. The Amorites, also Canaanites, continued in their iniquity from the time of Abraham to Moses. That's 400 years. God is long-suffering and patient and not willing that any should perish, the New Testament tells us. But also, one day, God will judge and punish sin and those who refuse to turn to Him in faith. Not only this, but also recall Joshua 2 that we looked at a few weeks ago, where the spies are sent to spy out Jericho, and Rahab hid the spies. Remember what Rahab said in Joshua 2, verses 8 through 10, and said to the man, Rahab speaking, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who are beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. Understand what happened in those verses. All the people there in Jericho, they had heard of God. They have heard of God's miracles, and fear had overtaken them. Guess who and how many turned to God in faith? Only Rahab and her family. The others were given chances and opportunities just like Rahab and her household. God's grace and mercy and love was extended to Jericho also. In the same way, God extends His love, grace, and mercy to people today at the cross of Jesus Christ. But one day, time is going to run out. Christ will return, and God's judgment will fall upon those who have not placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And thirdly, the Canaanites in Jericho were devoted for destruction to show God's desire for His people to be holy. As we just saw, the residents in Jericho, enormously wicked. And this was one of the places where the Israelites were going to live and dwell. And God knew in His omniscience these practices and influences and sin and wickedness of the people there in Jericho would draw the Israelites away from God Himself. God wanted Israel to be devoted and holy to Him, not worshiping these false gods and the practices of the people in Jericho. The people in Jericho were going to be a hindrance to God's people and their spiritual life. It would cause the Israelites not to have victory and success in their Christian life. And for those of you who know the Old Testament, you know Israel did not destroy all the inhabitants of the other cities they conquered. And it led to what? Israelites going into sin, leading Israel away from God, leading Israel to where God had to discipline Israel with the Assyrian and Babylonian captivities. In the same way, God's desire for us as believers today is to live holy and righteous lives. Yes, we are sinners saved by grace, and we are never, never going to be perfect in this life. But we are to fight and struggle against sin and try to live godly lives. Our goal, to become more and more Christ-like, to sin less and less. And to do that, we need to remove those things in our lives that hinder us from being holy, just like the Israelites did here. Remember the command in 1 Peter 1:16, "Be holy, for I am holy," quoted from the Old Testament law where God was speaking. And recall what Jesus said, very strong statement, in Matthew 5:29-30. "If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out, throw it away. For it is better to lose one of your members than for the whole body to be thrown in hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell." The teaching there is to remove those obstacles and hindrances that cause us to fall into sin. So I want to ask you a little personal question again. Take a minute, examine your Christian life if you are a believer. Think back over the past week. Think back over the last 2 or 3 weeks. Is there something hindering you from living the holy and godly life God desires for you? Is there something causing you to stumble and causing you to fall into sin? What about social media taking up all your time? What about unforgiveness towards someone who has hurt you in the past? What about not dealing honestly with your customers in your business? Whatever it is, do as the Israelites did here. Devote it to destruction. Remove it out of your life. Take the drastic step. Tear that eye out. Cut that hand off. Not literally, but remove those obstacles if you need to. For example, maybe social media is taking up all your time. Think about this for a minute. When you get to heaven, God's not going to ask you how many friends you had on your WeChat list. God's not going to ask you how many friends liked you on Facebook. But you will give an account of how you lived your life for Christ. Moving on, we don't have time to look at our last section today of our passage, but I want to make a couple of observations. And I leave you with a couple of observations on our last part of our passage. In verses 22 through 25, we're not going to read them, but 22 through 25, Rahab and her family escaped the destruction because of their faith. Knowing God's word, acting upon it, they hid the spies. It brings spiritual success. Faith brings spiritual success. But when we study Joshua 2:15, I want to point out, it says that Rahab there let the spies down by a rope through a window, for her house, listen closely, was built into the city wall, so that she lived in the wall. Simple. Rahab lived in that wall around Jericho, Jerusalem. But Rahab, and the section where she lived in, here in chapter 6, the walls were destroyed. Rahab was saved. How did that happen? That section, that part of the wall where Rahab lived, did not fall down. One miracle, the walls of Jericho fall down flat. Second miracle, that section where Rahab was living, not destroyed. And I want you to look at verse 26 of Joshua chapter 6. Which says, "Joshua laid an oath on them at that time, saying, 'Cursed before the Lord be the man who rises up and rebuilds this city, Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn son shall he lay its foundation, and at the cost of his youngest son shall he set up its gates.'" Here, the point was, I don't have time to go into it, spiritual success cannot be achieved through disobedience. But here, Jericho is destroyed. Joshua issues a curse to anyone who rebuilds this city. Their firstborn son and their youngest son would die. This was actually fulfilled some 500 years later during the reign of Ahab. 1 Kings 16:34 gives us this account. 1 Kings 16:34. In his days, Hiel of Bethel built Jericho. He laid its foundation at the cost of Abiram, his firstborn, and set up its gates at the cost of his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Joshua, the son of Nun. Hiel attempts to rebuild Jericho, and the words which Joshua had spoken 500 years earlier come true. His two sons die. Also, for your information, he failed to rebuild Jericho completely. Disobedience never leads to spiritual success. As we conclude this morning, Jericho is the first victory and first conquest for the Israelites in the land of Canaan. The Israelites conquer, overtake Jericho. They succeed in one simple way: faith. I wish I could tell you there was a 10-step process. It was simple faith. They knew God's word, and they did what God's word said. Not what they thought was best, not what they felt, not what others said, but by following God's word. They followed God's word, and they removed those hindrances that were keeping them from moving forward into the land of Canaan. Not a complicated process. Not something really difficult. There was an old Bible teacher at a university in America who gave a simple outline to his students on Joshua chapter 6. God commands, people obey, the walls fall down. God commands, people obey, spiritual success achieved. That's the way it works. It's simple. We're going to see this pattern throughout the book of Joshua. And you're also going to see this pattern: God's word, disobedience, no spiritual success. We all face difficulties, trials, struggles, temptations in our Christian lives. We all have a Jericho, if you will. And we all have a wall in our Christian life, have or have had, that we need that needs to be knocked down. What Jericho are you facing today? A troubled marriage? Some kind of addiction? Broken relationship? Anger? Lust? You can have success against whatever that mountain is. Know God's word, obey, and spiritual success will come. It might take a while for that wall to crumble. That wall might stay there a long time. Persevere patiently. But nothing is impossible with God. There is no wall too high or too thick for God. I want to leave you with a quote from an early church father, John Chrysostom, who was martyred for standing up against the abuses and power of the early church well before Martin Luther. "You are but a poor soldier of Christ if you think you can overcome spiritual success without fighting. And suppose you have the crown when you get to heaven without conflict. Fight the good fight. Spiritual success can be achieved." Let us close in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you again for the gift of your Son. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross. We thank you that your shed blood takes away our sins and the sins of anyone who will come to you in faith, just admitting they're a sinner and trusting you. Lord, we pray for anyone here this morning who does not know you. We pray that you would open up their heart through the power of your Holy Spirit, through the convicting power of your Holy Spirit, and they would realize their need of a Savior and take that step and put their faith in you. And Lord, for us who are believers here this morning, we thank you for Joshua 6. A little difficult, but Lord, we also thank you for what it teaches us, that spiritual success can be achieved. We just need to simply walk by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.